What's happening? Contrast Uncut, presented by Poppy D Presents, Season 2, Episode 18. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a very, very special guest. I'm talking about comedian, actor, producer, been involved in movies, 50 plus, including film. We're talking about Three Strikes. We're talking about Fat Beach. We're talking about Soul Plane, talking about Eve. The list goes on and on. Bullworth. We got none other than Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's good, folks?
How you doing, brother?
What's good. I can't complain, man. Just, you know, hanging in there, staying, you know, corona free.
Man, virus free, like it's HIV days, boy.
I know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. But everything's all good on this end, man. Thank God.
Man, blessings, blessings. That's right, man. So I got a quote, and you know, let me know how it relates to you, and if it doesn't, I want to know why.
Okay.
All right. You pray for rain. You got to deal with the mud too. That's a part of it. Denzel Washington.
Yeah. See, well, it's just saying, man. You know, with anything you do, there's going to come some sort of backlash. There's going to be side effects, good and bad, and you have to deal with that. Like for instance, when you know you ask for a certain level of fame, and then you get to a point where you go on social media and you can say something about nothing, but people are offended because your microphone has become so big. But you wanted that fame, so now you have, with that fame comes this huge microphone to where everything you say is under scrutiny. And so that's basically what that quote means, and it applies to everything. You know what I mean? It's one of the reasons I started, you know, rooted my, you know, my career in an independent, as a very independent foundation, to where, you know, I sort of control what I do, when I do, how I do, and I'm not at the mercy of a studio saying, oh, okay, come do this. You know, I'm not just sitting around waiting for them to pick me. I pick myself, you know what I'm saying? And with that, I'm able to choose and be particular about what I want to do and what I don't want to do, because again, sometimes that level of success and awareness comes with some side effects that may go against your morals and beliefs.
Right, you know, you got to drive through that mud, you know, as it rains and things happen, you got to drive through that mud and get to places. It takes hours involved, you know. It's 10,000 hours to be a master.
Exactly, man.
You done spent 10,000 hours on them roads.
Exactly.
Now, Brian, funny that you said that. It made me spawn a question. Is that something that you somewhat learned early on being in this business? Because you've been in the business for a long time. And you know, not putting that long as a bad thing, but it says a lot for any black actor to have that longevity in this entertainment game like that.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I think, you know, I was sort of, again, my background and my journey has been an independent one. So I wouldn't say it was this master plan that I set out to have, but, you know, I ended up making these smaller independent films that really created a foundation that allowed me to do what I want, when I want, with who I want. And it was independent of, dependent upon no one. And with that, I was able to see, you know, the industry from a different set of eyes. And I've seen some of my peers and other folks and some of the things that they, you know, were doing and were allowing to be done to them that, you know, luckily I was able to stay sucker free and away from that. And again, with that next level of success, it comes a lot of BS, man. And I did see that early on, and I decided, you know, to take the long route. So a lot of folks who, you know, they may look at my career and appreciate that and be like, yo, what he's done is dope. And then some may look at it and be like, man, why he never such and such? It's because I'm taking the long route. And at a point, they's like, yo, you could take this shortcut. You can get on this boat with us, and we just gonna pedal across the lake. But to get on that boat, I had to do a whole bunch of shit that I don't believe in or I'm not down with. Yeah. So I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna keep walking.
Like, you know, the scenic route.
Right. So that's basically the best way to explain that, man. And that's sort of what happened and how it was.
So, you know, it segues to my segment. My segment is, did the game choose you or did you choose the game? And it's an origin question because I want to go back to when Robbie Reed founded you.
Yeah. I think it was kind of both, man. You know, this in our industry, you know, your success, your input doesn't determine your output necessarily. But you have folks who hustle hard, hustle long, and hustle strong. And if you don't know the right people, you're not in the right place. And you could be too tall or too dark, too much like the other guy. And so that particular situation won't work out for you. So it's a weird space to where your input doesn't necessarily determine your output. You could be working 10 times harder than anyone else, and you've seen it before, you know, that who's unknown at the right place at the right time, and they get put on to a certain degree. So I think it was a lot of me creating my opportunities, and also, you know, certain points and things like the Eve show, and you know, and some of these things to where, you know, I was put on to a degree. So basically for me, it was, you know, a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck.
So I want to go ahead and say there was highs and lows. Where was it like where your confirmation was and you were like, this is what I'm destined to do. This is where I meet the road and the dirt and we all flow together.
Right. I think for certain, when you first take off, man, you just working, you grinding, and you young, and you really, you know, until you age and mature, you might feel like you have a plan, but you don't really, you just sort of ride. Even though you think you driving and you in control, you just sort of riding and enjoying the time. I think it, honestly, man, it wasn't until recently, until, you know, after everything, to where I'm really settling in the point to, again, where I appreciate my independence, you know, because at a point in my career, I was like, damn, man, how many times I'm gonna have to do these films, you know, with one hand tied behind my back and do so much work and wear so many hats and, you know what I mean, and have to put in my own funds and, you know, and raise other funds. But then in hindsight, right now, the industry is in such an independent time to where all that stuff that I thought was cumbersome, and now I can go and I can make a movie with two hands tied behind my back. I have the funds to do it myself. I have access to a pool of, you know, investors that I could pull from, and that was all just a blessing. So it was bigger than me. You know what I mean? When I thought it was like, oh, grunt work, I was learning so much shit that the average person doesn't know. So now I can go out and make a film whenever I want. But most artists and actors, they can't say that. You know what I mean? They, a lot of them have to call me, or, you know, they have to call such and such. I have to call this guy to figure out a film. So all that work was a blessing. And I think in the last, you know, couple to few years, I'm really figuring that out. Like, wow, man, that, all that stuff that I was doing and, you know, was laying the foundation and the groundwork for me to be here where I am today, to where, you know, I'm about to do my own sitcom, for the most part, independently. We're shooting it and then we're taking it and selling it. You know what I mean? I'm about to do another independent film called Adam and Eve. You know, that, you know, nobody has the green light anything for me. And then I have the romantic comedy I'm doing called Relationship Goals, which is a studio film that I took to them and said, yo, you know, I'm gonna do this like this with these people. And they were like, yo, that's dope. What you need for us? Nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I can fund it myself, or we could go half, or you guys love it and, you know what I mean, and y'all wanna put up. And so that's the position where I wasn't going in there to ask you for anything. I was going to make you aware of what I'm doing, because I think this might be a great outlet for you guys to supplement. So it's a different position that you put yourself in. And that was a result of, you know, my independence and my getting out there and making it happen.
See, and I noticed that you keep on using the reference to the drive and taking, you know, the journey. And what I like to take notice is that, you know, it's a car, it's some type of vehicle that gets you there. And you're the mechanic. You're controlling this. You're like, you know what? This didn't work. Let me go ahead. Let me slash these tires out. Oh, these brakes didn't break right. I didn't slow down at the right time. Let me go switch that out. And then, you know what? The people in the back seat ain't the people supposed to be in the back seat for me. Let me go and switch them out.
Right.
And then I see that, you know, at some point you were riding by yourself. At other times you had a car full of people. You may have got a sprinter sometimes, you know?
And that's how the journey is, man. And a lot of times we get caught up, we're trying to compare our journey to other people's journey. And that's a huge mistake, because that's their thing. That's not your thing, you know what I mean? And as long as you're doing that, your life will never make sense, because you're trying to make your life someone else's life. And your life is never gonna be someone else's. You are you, you're not two people. You know what I mean? So you just focus on your journey, be appreciative, keep with your goals, and then enjoy people. Like, I can't wait till I get there. And a lot of people don't realize it's the journey and those ups and downs and those celebrations and those milestones and those people who you meet that make you arriving to your goal fulfilling. Because if you don't have that, if you skip, if you cheat, if you get on that boat and you go across the lake, you wind up in a place to where you're like, oh, why is this celebrity, you know, alcoholic and in and out of, you know, AA? Why is this celebrity, why didn't he hang himself? Why did he kill himself? It's like, why is this dude suppressed? Why is he doing depressed? Why is he doing drugs? It's because they cheated the journey. And so now they're at the top and they're sitting there and they wondering why they don't feel good. Why I feel like shit. Why I don't trust none of these people around me and they don't help. Because you cheated all the relationships on the journey because you was focusing the wrong way and you took a shortcut and maybe compromised yourself in taking that shortcut. So now you're on top and you feel like shit. And it don't feel like what you think it does. But when you stay the course to your journey, you attain and learn so much that when you get there, you appreciate it so much. And there's so much happiness. And a lot of people, you know, as simple as that is, they don't get that. They don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people could read a book, but not understand the whole purpose of a book. A lot of people could look at a blueprint, but can't build a building. And so you got to take your own experience and you got to grow with it. You got to become that flower in the concrete and be okay with the surroundings.
Right, exactly.
And done. Exactly. And speaking of which, let me give you your flowers for that, bro. I appreciate you. You've definitely been a person to look up to in Bakersfield, bro. Like, speaking of meeting people, I met you at Walmart on Panama, and you gave me tickets, not only for me and my wife, but you gave me like 8 tickets to go see your show at the Fox Theater. Doing the play. Yes. And so it was amazing. I got to call all my family and go. And, you know, I take that moment with me of how humble you were. And that was a moment of like, man, this is someone from the town, Bakersfield, putting on, been in all these movies and still coming back and grassrooting and handing out things. And, man, come support. And that's something that you can't have those stories without being involved in it. And I appreciate that.
Word. Yeah, man. Appreciate you. It's important to come back to the town.
Yeah. I think it's just dope how you explained that whole thing, because people only know one side of every story. They don't look at the full spectrum of it. And like you were saying earlier, you can look at your career in 2 different ways, but you also just broke down, hey, I took my route and what I decided to do with my career, and I took control of it. I didn't let nobody say or how it's going to be done, no matter how long the journey is. And I think that's something that, you know, big actors, small, you don't get a lot of these, you know, famous people saying that part of it. And that's an important thing to say, because the people out there who want to follow in your footsteps or want to be in that type of world, they always want to know. First of all, there is no real formula to it. You just have to carve your own way. But at the same time, but hearing someone's reality of it, as opposed to, oh, it's the best thing ever, I'm famous and all this type of stuff.
Right.
You know? Without really knowing, like, nah, this is a job.
It's a facade.
It's a facade. You know.
Right. In the entertainment business, it attracts a certain type of personality, which is, you know, is just not the most solid personality. And that's why you have that. They so busy pretending and trying to be and wanting to be, and that they just so mixed up, man, in their mind and their head, and you know, and they're not focusing as much on the business as they should their art, man. And then it makes for a very goofy type of person, a very goofy type of personality. And that type of person is always gonna get in the boat, because they don't care nothing about themselves. They just feel like they want to get to over there, yeah, where they heard it was so on and such, man. And for anybody coming up and getting in the game, that's not the way. And right now, I was doing independent stuff when it wasn't necessarily cool. You know what I mean? But I would make a film, and you know, you make a film with a studio and say, you know, one of the 10, it makes $10. I would make a film and my film made $5, but I would own that $5. You understand what I'm saying?
We made a blueprint for that, man, because when we was doing still on video cassettes and DVDs, I remember going to Blockbuster, and you had your own section of movies.
Right.
You produced that many independent films at that time, yeah. 01, 02.
Word, man. It was just, you know, creating a foundation, man, to where you can sustain. And again, you know, now it's independent, it's cool, and everybody's trying to do it, and everybody wants to do it, and that's great, and that's the route to go. And people ask me, like, you know, what would you tell someone who's trying to get in the game? And it's like, you have to be creating your own shit. You know what I mean? You can't be waiting on anybody. Figure out a way to make it happen for yourself. It's just a very independent, friendly time right now. And if you're waiting on a studio, you could be waiting forever.
And you continue to reinvent yourself. It's like you are hungry, you're humble, but at the same time, you're relevant. And that's the thing. That's the number one reason why I'm at your door knocking. Because you definitely, it's in you. It's not on you. It's not, I'm grabbing it from this person. Like I said earlier, you're the mechanic. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you are such a pillar. Did I say that word right?
Pillar.
Yeah. You feel me? You a pillar.
Hey, and you haven't worn a dress yet. No, oh no, not yet at all.
Right. Nah. Yeah. Nah, man. You know, it's a crazy industry, man. And I've managed to, you know, stay focused and stay settled in my foundation, man, and sort of do things my way. And to most folks, that might not be flashy and that might not be cool, and you know, they need to be on the biggest billboard in the biggest city, and that's great. But when you see me up there on that biggest billboard in the biggest city, you'll know that I compromise nothing to get there. You know what I mean? And so that's a whole different type of celebration. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's nothing like true values that mean core to you. Like, what? Everyone doesn't just have the same values. It's like common sense that's uncommon. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And yep. So as we talk about this and common sense being uncommon, my next segment is awareness segment. And I got a lot of youngsters that listen and watch the show. And the whole thing is that they get in situations that they don't know what to do when them red and blue lights come on. The blurt sound comes on. They don't know what to do when they get pulled over. And, you know, we got this mass society of what the hoopla is versus we need to zone in on what people should do in the situation. So I asked my guests, when was the last time they were pulled over, or a moment that stood out to you the last time?
Last time I was pulled over was probably, I was picking my kids up from school, and this cop pretty much pulled us over for no reason. I think I had got my tags, but I didn't have them on yet. I actually have them in the glove. And he started asking me a series of questions that had nothing to do with anything other than me being Black with my kids in the car. So the way I am, you can spit in my face and, you know, I'll wipe it off and keep pushing. But if you spit in my kid's face, I'm beating your ass on the spot, wherever we at. And there's nothing to talk about. You feel me? So it's two different dynamics. And so the idea that he was doing that, you know, with them in the car, asking me silly questions like, why are you on this side of town? You know what I mean? Like, when is it appropriate for you to ask someone, why are you on this side of town? So I already knew what it was. So with that stop, I was just so enraged and so upset, even though I still conceded because I know where that can go. And so the idea is for me to get home safe and for me to get my kids home safe. But as a human, for you to have to swallow your ego, swallow your pride, and answer this goofball's questions, you know what I mean? And just play the part, even though you know that's a bogus situation and that, you know, particular officer was on some bullshit, it's a hard thing to do. You know what I mean? Right. I'm a humble dude. I'm not prideful, but I do have pride. So for you to be sitting there and doing this at this point in my life when I'm a grown man, when I'm picking my kids up from school and you asking me a series of questions that have everything to do with me being Black and nothing else, that's an issue. And so, but even in that instance, you just have to stand down. You know what I mean? You just have to stand down because at the end of the day, if that escalates and they take me in for slapping him, you know, where are the kids going? You know what I mean? What's the process of what they have to do until this gets cleared up? You know what I mean? If we get into something to where I don't know him, to where he's trigger happy and he shoots me because he feared for his life or whatever, what does that leave my family? What does that, you know, leave my kids and so on? So you have to think about that, you know? So in that moment, you're gonna be extremely upset. You are right, they are wrong, but sometimes we just have to concede. And then once you concede, you could go back and you could try to right that wrong in different circumstances with different eyes and different ears. But when they have you right there, isolated, you know what I mean? They're in the position to say anything and make up anything, and they're gonna be given the benefit of doubt because we live in a time to where, you know, sometimes, you know, if you Black, you wrong right out the gate, depending on where you're at and who you're dealing with, man. So you just have to, you know, you just have to swallow your pride. You just have to keep it together and don't give them a reason to escalate anything. You know,
now during these times where it's going that fast and your mind's escalating, are you thinking like, do I need to get his information, or are you just like, let me get this ticket and get out of my way so I can go through the next step?
I think you definitely need to do that. You need to judge on, you know, who you're dealing with and where you at. If you're in a city with a lot of cars passing, you can ask for his information. You know what I mean? If you're somewhere isolated, you want to try to remember that, you know, that badge number as best you can, because there's a lot of great cops, but there's a few very bad cops, and you don't know who you're dealing with at that time. You know what I mean? It could be a 9-to-1 ratio, 9 good cops, 1 bad cop. You might draw that one, and you don't know that, man. So you know what I'm saying? It's a really sensitive situation. That, you know, luckily with social media and cameras, you know, folks are more aware now. But before there was cameras, this shit was happening all the time. You know what I mean? And when we would cry out to, you know, people and say this, it was just, you know, those Black folks complaining again because they didn't get it and they didn't deal with it and they didn't have to go through it. You know what I'm saying? But now they're seeing it and it's like, whoa. So it's one of the upsides.
This is a lot lighter than having a camcorder on my shoulder trying to feel Rodney King across the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it's made them accountable to a degree, man, because they have to look over their shoulders and think twice when they're on some bullshit.
Right. And you know, you brought up a lot of key points in there for a lot of different people, not just youngsters, just everybody, because you're an outstanding citizen. You do a lot of things for the community. And here you are, you're being persecuted underneath the red and blue lights.
Right, for no reason at all. You know what I mean? No reason at all.
But you brought up another thing in there that I got to give you your flowers for, bro. I didn't know that you're a father. I should have done more research. You're a dedicated dad. Yeah. I got to take my hat off to you. I appreciate all the dedicated fathers that, especially in this industry, and be able to tell the story and have them aware.
Yeah, and I'm a dad first, brother. I'm a dad first, and then I go through all this work stuff.
Amen. Now, I got 2 kids myself, so trust me. And the hardest thing,
you know, is work.
Figure out how to balance and a wife. So it's just like,
yeah, exactly. Me too. It's work, man.
See, he got adult kids. That's a different problem. I don't get phone calls where I gotta just get up and go.
Right. Exactly.
So I have this next segment. It's called Trading Places. It's like, you know, Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy back in the day in the movie, Freaky Friday for, you know, the relevant people. And we take 2 iconic people lives and we switch places, trading places. For you, I have 2 people, but question number 1, you gotta know, will it work? That's what we all wanna know. From your perspective, will it work? And number two, what would life be like with them trading places?
Okay.
I got Michael Blackson trading places with Jerry Springer.
Yo, that would be the best trade ever. I think with Michael, as crazy as he is, and Jerry Springer, as wild as that was, but switching those two would be both of them on steroids. So I think it would be Jerry Springer times 1,000, and it would be Michael Blackson times 1,000. That would be hilarious. That would be a hilarious mix.
So name one thing that'd be different about the Michael Blackson show.
The Michael Blackson show.
One thing. It's no longer Jerry Springer. They're gonna be yelling out, Mike. Shut up.
I think one thing would be different with Blackson would definitely be sleeping with all the guests, all the singing and all that. Blackson, like, they would, like, sometimes, you know, you'd be finding out he's the father, you know?
He'd be making guest appearances on Maury.
Right.
They're going to put the studios next to each other.
Right, and I think Jerry Springer doing Titty Tuesdays would probably be doing it butt naked as this pervert. So he could probably be arrested. Like, yeah, 1 month in, they would raid his house and arrest him for you know, IG pornography. So, yeah, that would be crazy.
All right, now the flip side. You think Jerry Springer could really hold his weight as Michael Blackson? Now, he'd be like a white African.
Yeah, I think it could, but it would be weird. I think Jerry Springer is a closet pervert, man. Everything about him says he has this creepy white van in the back of his garage. So like I say, him doing Titty Tuesdays and all that, I just see the house being raided because he's sitting over there butt naked, whacking off. Like, yo, bro, you know, Titty Tuesdays over the top, man. We raiding this place. Come with me.
He said, I put the mansion and turned it into a strip club on Sunset.
He's got a judge show. He's a judge now too, don't
Jerry Springer a judge?
Judges do dumb shit too. It don't matter.
They closet too, yeah.
Right. He'd be up there. I see him up there in the judge. He butt naked under his robe. You know what I mean? Doing Titty Tuesdays during the recess. Yeah, man.
He said, you want to get your fine knocked off, get in this line.
Yeah. Why nobody's dick is holding up? What's going on, yo?
True, say hi. Since you busting in, say hi.
Yo, what's going on, man?
All right,
what's
good?
He don't care. You know that kid. He don't care about your work. What you trying to do?
No, and then he want to roast me. Talking like, about your big old block there. Mike, come on, son. This ain't the roast me episode. All right, back to what we was talking about. What would life be like, man? So that's crazy. So my next episode, my next segment is about impulse Q&A, and the whole idea is to get impulse answers. We got like a deck of cards, but they don't pay us, so we don't say the name, but they got great questions, so we ask you the questions. And they are randomly selected, so if you hear me talk to the producer, like, why did he give me this card? Because it doesn't make sense me asking you. It's because it's random, but you do have an option to pass. But I'm going to pull another card, just so you know. It's like Uno. You say pass, I'm giving another card.
Okay.
Question number one. What makes you feel old? Come on, Kev.
What?
He's young.
That's random.
Yeah, black don't cry, bro.
Let me tell you what makes me feel old. When I go on IG, listen, and this is real shit, and I go and I hear Lil Stank Stank. I'm like, who is Lil Stank Stank? And he got the blue check, and he got 10 million followers. And I don't know this dude, but clearly is popping. And now, yo, my kids are like, yo, y'all know Lil Stank Stank? Oh, yeah, he hella stinky. At that point, That's when I'm like, yo, shit, I'm old. Because how's this dude this big and I don't know who the hell he is and never heard of him? It's because my ass is old. And when they send out the marketing to say, hey, listen to him, I missed the cut. Because my ass is old.
You ain't missed it.
Hey. So all these youngsters is not even bubbling. They're huge. And I don't know who the hell they is. Like, and they've been popping for 3 years. I'm like, okay, I'm old.
With a blue check on them.
I don't know what the hell's going out there. I'm old. That made me feel old, though.
Question number two. What's the funniest name you could think of for a pet?
For a pet? For a pet.
Funniest and I want to hear you yell out the name like it's your dog right now.
Oh, okay. Probably Lil Coochie. Coochie. Come over here, boy. Oh, you be on the walk, be like, oh, he's so cute. What is that? Oh, this little coochie. You want a pet? You want a pet coochie? Want
to
pet my coochie?
Man, it's right, you know.
Yeah.
And you can say shit. Oh, what's wrong with your dog? Oh, little coochie is just itching right now.
Our coochie just itch.
Yeah, but this little cooch don't need to get tightened up.
Stop that
leg,
cooch.
Little cooch.
All right, question number three. What's something that you've never been able to do well?
What's something that I've never been able to do well? Man, shit, that sounds funny, man, but I'm one of those cats. And when I set my mind to something, I knock it out. But what's something I haven't been able to do?
Could be anything.
Now think about what you gotta pay for someone to do.
Yeah, you know.
Man, what is something that I haven't been able to.
You gonna hook up your own cable? You gonna climb on the side of the wall?
Well, I'm gonna change that wall socket out.
It would probably be automotive stuff. I don't mess around with the car. I'm not touching the engine. I barely pump the gas. Like, I don't, you know, all that stuff, I just leave it alone. But, you know, technical stuff, man, I always, when I dive into something, like, real shit, like, I figure it out and it works for me. But the car stuff, you know what I mean? I would probably say that.
He said, I'm a mechanic with this, but when it comes to this, that needs to come to this.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you talked about it briefly earlier, and I just, you know, I want to elaborate on, like, you know, what are you most excited for coming up? Because during this quarantine time, a lot of people have been down, a lot of people have been in a box and misery and sorrow. And it's like, the reality is you got to get out that shit, get out and get it, even from your own box. Like, they got this internet thing that puts you in situations where you're talking to Brian Hooks right now. You know what
word,
I mean?
Word. I got a lot of cool stuff coming up. The past couple of years, I've been helping a lot of other artists with their stuff. So I now got back to my independence and going out there and making films. So I'm excited about that. I'm about to do this drama called Adam and Eve. It's sort of like a Jason's Lyrics tone type film. I have the sitcom I'm about to do that I'm putting together with Bentley Kyle Evans, who is a showrunner for Martin. He created the Jamie Foxx show, and he and I are collabing to do my own sitcom. So that's gonna be dope. And then I have this film called Relationship Goals that is about these three couples who take this last ditch effort to this exotic, you know, island to sort of try to salvage their marriage and relationships. And it's looking like that's gonna be shot in Dubai, which will be dope. And but the biggest thing is my startup, man, called Left the Bank Entertainment. And it's basically to where, you know, I just sort of had my aha moment and figured out what I'm really supposed to be doing. And it's basically a company that creates a positive social impact through entertainment. And it's called Left the Bang. And bang being that moment in an inner city youth's life to where they commit a violent act, or they pick up a gun, or they join a gang. Anything that puts them on the wrong side of the law, because then they're to the right of bang. Then often it's too late in the hands of the justice system, the penal system, the prison system, and so on. Well, I want to get them before the bang, left the bang, and teach them the movie making skills, knowledge, and expertise that gives them hope. And so I partnered with Barack Obama Prep here in Los Angeles, the PICO Youth and Family Center in Santa Monica, and a number of other schools and other schools in Downey. And what I'm gonna do is when I make films moving forward, I'm gonna take these youth, these troubled youth, and allow them to be on the set. So they'll be able to hang out with their favorite actor, with the, you know, professional, you know, A-list crew, professional actors, you know, of who they know, and they'll be able to work and learn on the spot in movies that they will actually see on the big screen, see in Netflix, see their name in the credits. Yeah, and so it because you know, a lot of times kids just, you know what I mean? They don't have any choices. They choose between bad and worse. So my company would extend the olive branch to allow them to go from the inner city to the Hollywood movie set and be a part of that movie magic. And we're gonna build a machine to where it'll grow and grow and grow. And long after I'm gone, there'll still be Left to Bang Entertainment that spits out scholarships, allow these kids in between the big films to do, you know, short films and documentaries, but teach them the skills that allow them to provide for themselves and their families by giving them hope and keeping them Left to Bang. And so that's my biggest thing and what I'm most excited about, man. You know what I mean? Because my background is teaching. And then my gift is filmmaking. So I'm combining those two to keep these kids off the street, man.
Steve, where were you at in 2005 when I get arrested for robbing somebody and I was front page Sunday newspaper for directing my own play and getting straight A's and being homeless in high school and I still want to be in the streets and dumb?
Word. See, you know what I mean?
I was literally I was in a bed of a truck with a pistol jumping out of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Real life, being dumb, just because I wanted to get something extra. And where were you at? Man. Telling me you come with me to Hollywood. Like, I was supposed to play Spanky and Little Rascals when I was 5 years old. This is a true story, by the way. Wow. Where were you at? Because I was supposed to beat it.
And that's what I'm saying, man, just showing, because a lot of, you know, the number two reason the kids join the games, they want a sense of family, they want a sense of belonging, you know what I mean? And so if they had the chance to choose between, you know, shooting movies and shooting guns, like, clearly, they're going to choose making that movie with...
I would have rather used a prop gun. I'd rather use a prop gun instead of a real gun and deal with the consequences of what it's like with that.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So, you know what I mean? That's what Left to Bang Entertainment is doing, man.
No, that's amazing.
People like you from jumping out of trucks.
Real talk. Yeah. Like, and shoot, I wasn't in the gang. We was just, you know, a bunch of little youngsters that was dumb and graduated high school and thought we was invincible until we was invincible.
Word. Exactly, man.
So, you know, on a serious note, but I laugh about it because as life goes on, you progress, you think, see things in a different light, and then you try to inspire and understand that shit's dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, word, man. So, you know, you got to show them something else, you know, because a lot of times, you know what I mean, they don't even see that. They don't see the graduate. They see none of that. You know what I mean? They got to walk through, you know, 2-3 hoods to get to school. You know what I mean? No father, mother, you know what I mean, in and out of jail. So, you know what I mean? Who gonna raise them? Who gonna take them in?
See, my father passed away in 91, and I used to, you know, my mom raised me with a stepdad that wasn't there, and then they got arrested, and my sister had to raise me. And so I was taking the bus on the east side, bus 7, KMC, to all the way to South High every morning.
Wow. See, that's a lot. That's a lot that you asking for you to do. You know what I mean? That's a whole lot of responsibility. And you clearly, if you graduated and all that, that's big kudos, because how many kids gonna be able to do that? You know what I mean? You know, not many.
I'm gonna be honest. I went to UC Santa Barbara and then I started partying and working too much. And then I learned about selling drugs and money and I fucked off college.
Well, see, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, had you seen something else, maybe it would have pushed you in a direction, different direction. Maybe you did, but we need to have that option. So I'm going to provide that option.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, because you opened up, I felt like it was important to know that to a degree, you were talking to me. And word, you know what I mean?
That's big. That's big, man. Definitely, man. Definitely, man. We got to, you know, if I can make these films and they'd be great and they entertain, that's great. But if I can reach out and if I only say 1, 2, 10, 100, 1,000 or more, then I would have changed the world because I would have prevented them from ruining their life and possibly ruining their lives, your life or someone you love. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm making this film and I can bring them and let them be a part of that, why wouldn't I do that? You know what I mean? Why would I make this film without doing that, you know?
Like, it's almost to the degree of when you actually each one teach one, it's like the damn coronavirus where it's everywhere. And I wish this each one teach one last 7 days on plastic. like, you know, last with you. Let this stuff we're telling you last with you. Let it sit in there and marinate and become something. You know, put some chicken and oil overnight in the fridge and then bake it. It'll be juicy. Word. I promise. Well,
exactly.
Okay. Exactly. I got a question because I followed your career for a minute, bro. And
who hasn't?
I want you to put it out there because you have one of the top five hood classic movies of all time. When is Rob coming back?
Rob, staying out of the way of coronavirus right now, but we're putting it together. We're putting it together. You know, DJ Pooh, who wrote and directed Three Strikes, has been busy. I think him and Cube was in the lab doing something else, but that's next on deck, man. So we should see that no later than, you know, next year. That movie will be shot and in the can, man. So it's in the works. It's gonna be dope. It's not gonna be no bullshit sequel to where, you know, it's slopped together. It's not whack. We're gonna exceed the first one, man. So you love the first one, you're gonna love the second one. And it's, you know, and it's my duty to not ruin that Three Strikes legacy.
Definitely.
We're gonna make it happen.
Cause it is one of the top like hood classics up there with the Fridays, the How High. You up, that's to me, Three Strikes is like top three hood comedy movies.
Word, that's what's up, man.
I gotta tell another story.
Yeah.
So make a long story short, I was with my sister and she was trying to divorce her husband, right? And he was at the Twin Towers. And so we were able to catch him like the attorneys do and get him to sign the paperwork to be divorced. But as we were leaving, I was on such a high that we got the divorce paper signed that we started filming where, you know, the street with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department in the background. And they ain't got the payphones no more. But I was like, man, this feel like Three Strikes because we done got out this whole life situation.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
True story. You inspired that moment like where I felt like, hell yeah.
What's up, man. We had a ball of Three Strikes, man. And I'm excited about, you know, the sequel and taking it to the next level.
Yeah. Favorite line in that movie. I'm tired of this shit, nigga.
Yeah. Big Faison. Faison coming back. He'll be in it.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah. Faison's dope.
The realest one to turn himself in.
Word.
Yeah. Oh shit. All right, back on track. You got any other questions? Because I'm about to flip it on him. He don't know this is gonna happen.
No, we good.
So
Rob coming back.
That's important. Rob is important to a lot of people. I bet people that's getting ready to get out on their release date and it's their day to watch the TV, they're requesting to watch Three Strikes. He's just saying. Man, so normally what I do at the end, if you notice, this whole show is unique. I'm trying to be different, but I also want to touch to certain things because I'm big on the success story. I'm big on using people's platforms for awareness, and then I like to have fun. And so the last part of my show is I say, you got any questions for me?
Word. So when did you guys start doing this? When did you guys start doing your show?
To be very honest with you, December.
Oh, you just started.
And
how many episodes?
I was able to get an interview with Bobby D. He presents my show. I appreciate you, brother. He's also the agent of Snoop Dogg and a whole bunch of other people. I'd be getting tired because it'd be like a run-on sentence saying all the people he's involved with. But he bought into the show and started presenting it, got involved, and I just, you know, I have a a hustle to succeed, and I have all these relationships, so it's just more of making a bridge across and having conversations and making sure to get this stuff out there.
What do you got? Where are you trying to go with it? Is it a podcast, a video podcast? What is the show, and what's the long term goal?
So it started off as a podcast, and then the demand went to video, and the goal is to put it on a network and try to get more ears and eyes to see what we have going on. That's the goal. It's you know, wherever we land. We're blessed to breathe, and we can't complain as we go on the road, but we ain't jumping on no boats to get on the other side like that.
And you have to be commended, man, because like I said, man, that's a big deal. A lot of us have, great foundation, so it's easy to thrive on that, man. Yeah. So for you to go through the obstacles you went through and be here right now doing what you're doing, like the family, plans to tell her what you're doing, man. Big kudos to you. Kudos to both of y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me on, man. Vegas Field, man. You know how we do.
Yes, sir. Hey, it's Bobby D Presents Contrast Uncut, Season 2, Episode 18. I have the honor and the pleasure of rocking with, man, Brian Hooks. I almost went into a whole introduction again because I'm so juiced to talking to you.
That's what's up, man. Y'all stay up and keep getting it, man. Yo, what's good? It's your boy Brian Hooks from Three Strikes, Soul Plane, all that good stuff, and you watching and listening to Contrast Uncut.
Yeah. That part. Thank you, brother.
All right, my man.
Hey, blessings. Blessings.
Y'all stay cool, virus man. Free. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Appreciate it.
Sure. All right.